celebrations in Sudan's capital, Khartoum, today. After months of massive, sometimes violent protests, pro-democracy advocates and the ruling military party have reached a deal. The two sides agreed to create a joint council and share power for the next 3 years until elections are held. Anne Soy is senior Africa correspondent for the BBC. She says the deal comes after a long stalemate between the two sides.
So finally they agreed that each side would give 5 members to the sovereign council. And there's an 11th member who we understand will be a civilian, but may or may not be a military leader. And that has caused skepticism and issues with the supporters of the opposition alliance, because they say if he's a retired military officer, so is he fully civilian? To whom does he or she pledge their allegiance? So they have received this. They have been celebrating about this development, but there's also a lot of skepticism.
So negotiations between the two sides had been going on for months. They even broke down at some point. You were just in Khartoum covering the story earlier this week. What has changed?
The mediation from the African Union and Ethiopia is what changed things, as well as international pressure from the United Nations, from the U.S. government, from the British government, and also Gulf states.
Along with this power-sharing agreement, it was also announced that there's going to be an investigation into the attack by military last month in Khartoum on a sit-in that killed at least 100 people. Who will ensure that investigation is going to be fair and impartial?
So the agreement was that they would form a joint investigations team that would look into that deadly crackdown of June the 3rd. There is still skepticism also with this issue, because people are asking, so if it implicates some of the military rulers, will they agree to the findings of that investigation? Will they agree to be, to step aside and not to be part of the government? Many of them have a lot to lose because they were part of the 30-year regime of Omar al-Bashir. And so they would want to be in power to protect themselves and what they have, and also to sort of shield themselves from prosecution for alleged atrocities committed during that 30-year rule.
The BBC's Anne Soy, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
So just how optimistic are Sudanese following this agreement?
You know, I'm cautiously optimistic that at least for a while there will be less tension.
Suleiman Baldo is with the Enough Project, a U.S.-based group that works in several conflict areas in Africa, including in his native Sudan.
Believe me, the population would be looking very carefully to see if this effort is going to be credible and legitimate.
Yeah, I'm sure the population is going to be watching this carefully, because we've seen these kind of power-sharing agreements before in other countries between military and civilians. It often does not work out. Who's going to enforce this agreement?
Well, you have seen also the mass protests organized in Sudan since last December, and the numbers were so overwhelming that they really forced the hand of the Transitional Military Council that this population is not going to be cowered down because of use of massive force against it. And that population would be the only safeguard and the protector of the agendas of the transition. And I believe there will need to be a lot of involvement at high level from the Troika of the US, UK, and Norway, from the European Union, and the United Nations, who all have special envoys for the crisis in Sudan and who have been monitoring and supporting the African Union mediation efforts. And without this global partnership with the African Union, I don't think that we can trust the military to basically act honestly throughout the transition.
Speaking of the military in Sudan, what about this commander known as Hemeti, the Janjaweed leader? He's suspected of atrocities and still wields a lot of power. Is he still a concern? Or will he be a spoiler to this agreement?
He definitely stands as a very likely spoiler of the agreement. Hemeti, the warlord, head of a militia, he was a member of the Janjaweed, rose to prominence as the perpetrator of the genocide in Darfur. And therefore, I am hopeful and counting on the resilience of the pro-democracy movement in Sudan to neutralize any harmful effects or spoiler effect that Hemeti could bring to the situation, starting by investigating crimes that his forces had committed, including in recent weeks.
Suleiman, you put a lot of weight, it seems, on the people power in Sudan that got the country to this point. Do you expect the protests to continue?
You know, there is a jubilation, but very guarded optimism also in Khartoum. People want a break after months of being out in the streets, and they also want to go to work and to feed their families, and the country is in the middle of a major financial and economic collapse. And therefore, they would welcome giving this arraignment a chance to show that it's the right one. And if it isn't, you know, they will be back on the streets and they will make the country ungovernable.
Suleiman Balda speaking with us about the new power-sharing agreement in Sudan. Suleiman's with the Enough Project, an NGO that works in conflict areas across Africa. Thank you very much, Suleiman.
Thanks.